Good morning, everyone. We're reading in Book 10, Canto 3, The Debate of Love and Death. And we reached page 631, line 375. This is part of Savitri's long explanation to death about the truth of this world, how it was created, and its present state she is speaking about just now. That life brings into the earthly creature's days, a tongue of glory from a brighter sphere. It deepens in his musings and his art. So we read on from line 376, angel and demon brides his chamber share. Would you start, Margaret, please?
Angel and demon brides his chamber share. Possessors or competitors for life's harm. Whose enjoyer of the cosmic sea, his greatness and his littleness, each is one. His magnanimity and meaningless views cast on some mutual background of the gods. The artist still he admires, who planned it all, but not for endless this danger game, beyond the earth, beyond earth, wisdom and joy prepared, their perfect crown. Truth superhuman calls to thinking men. At last the soul turns to eternal things. In every shrine it cries for the clasp of God. Then is there played the crowning mystery. Then is a sheaf, the longed-for miracle.
Thank you. This is part of Savitri's long explanation to death. She's explaining to him the truth that saves, in contrast to his negative and pessimistic view of things, that all is illusion and bound to dissolve. And actually she's been speaking about joy which is the a form of bliss, the hidden bliss which is at the root of things. It expresses itself as joy. And this joy dares to grow upon forbidden soil. Its sap runs through the plant and flowers of pain. It thrills with the drama of fate and tragic doom. And she's been describing how in the present state of the world, we live in a world of dualities. Life does bring into the earthly creature's days, into the lives of us human beings, some tongue of glory from a higher, brighter sphere, which deepens in us, in our deeper musings, in our art. That is the quality which appreciates some perfect word or responds to high resolves and noble deeds. But it also wanders in man's errors. It's ready to go even to the very edge of the abyss. So as the human individual climbs, mounts up to his heights, that splendor mounts up with him, but also wallows in his fall, enjoys the mud. There comes this sentence. Would you read it again, Margaret, please? To the enjoyer of the cosmic scene, just this one sentence.
His greatness and his littleness equal are. his magnanimity and meanness use cast on some neutral background of the works. The artist's skill he admires, who claimed it all.
Hmm.
He is man, mankind.
I'm wondering, can anybody here cast any light? The enjoyer of the cosmic scene. Yes, sorry, Patricia. Go ahead, please. No, he admires. The one who enjoys it all admires the skill of the artist who planned it all. So some artist has planned all this play of duality. This must be the divine artist. And there's some kind of cosmic spirit who enjoys all this. Of course, we must have that capacity in ourselves also. But to that one who enjoys, he doesn't prefer this or that. All the tastes are enjoyable.
Line 362 in the paltry pleasures of man's life, and then 369, life brings in the earthly creature's gaze, which of course is again man. So his comes after that.
376, angel and demon in the same. No?
Yes, this refers to human beings, that we share our passions with both angel and demon brides. They are possessors or competitors for life's heart.
He's not talking about God here, the enjoyer of things. God is the creator of the cosmos.
Yeah, but he's also the enjoyer.
Perhaps it's more would be wise to remember that he creates it all for his own
enjoyment. Exactly. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
So that's why this enjoyment is in everything, which is himself.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, not bad things.
But anyway, this sentence winds up this section, and then he says, but not forever endures this danger game, this enjoyment of the extremes of life. Please read the rest.
It's not clear again. Who and Gordon will not endure this duality? Or we will not...
We will not have to endure it.
If there wouldn't be duality, there would be monotony. And monotony does not include progress. That's why the duality is in the bad and in the good.
Day and night.
Integral in spirit.
And talking of this line, he's saying, not forever, this will be endured. Right? It's duality.
No, because there's a growth.
Yeah.
So the next sentence, which Margaret will read again, tells us how we get out of this danger game.
But not forever endures this danger game. Beyond the earth, but meant for delivered earth, wisdom and joy prepare their perfect crown. Truth, superhuman, calls to thinking men.
And go on.
At last, the soul turns to eternal things. In every shrine, it cries for the clasp of God. Then is there played the crowning mystery. Then is achieved the longed-for miracle.
Yes. It's clear? Is it clear?
The duality is
a game time. Yes. And when the soul turns to eternal things, it's preparing to be able to see the divine in everything that happens, to join the enjoyer of the cosmic scene. So what is this crowning mystery, this longed-for miracle? You will read, Lorraine? We're going this way today.
Okay.
Top of page 632.
If immortal bliss her wide celestial eyes opens on the stars, stirs her mighty limbs. Time thrills to the sapphics of her armored song, and space fills with a white beatitude, then leading to its grief the human heart, abandoning speech and the name-determined realms. Through a gleaming, far-seeing sky, a wordless spot, through naked, thought-free heavens of absolute sight, she climbs to the summit with an unborn idea, remembering the future that must be, looks down upon the works of laboring force, immutable above the world it made. In the vast golden laughter of truth's sun, like a great heaven bird on a motionless sea.
Two more lines to the full stop.
Okay. Is poised her wings, adore, ardor, a creative joy. On the still deep of the eternal's peace.
Thank you. Thank you. Anything to ask?
Name liturgic realms means different gods we have, like Allah or Ishwar. That it means by that? Line 396, named determined realms.
The name determined realms are the realms where everything is identified by its name and form. So these are the lower worlds. So when the soul opens up, then immortal bliss no longer is confined to this enjoyment of the dualities. She can rise upwards to her in us, to her origin, to the higher levels of the universe. Time thrills to the sapphics of her amour song, a love song. Sappho was a poetess in ancient Greece who wrote love poems and invented a particular form, lyric form. So it's as if these intense love songs are thrilling throughout time and space. And the field of enjoyment of the lower forms of speech and name-determined realms are left as she mounts higher to wordless thought first, thought that does not depend on being formulated in words, and then even higher through thought-free heavens where everything is seen, not thought. This might be the level of illumined mind. This power of bliss in us mounts up to the summits where the unborn idea, the original creative idea which planned all this, is remembering the future that must be, where evolution is going to lead to. And from there she's looking down on what everything that's happening here, the works of the laboring force of nature.
How do you remember the future?
If you've already determined it in the world of the idea, you remember it. What was the plan? So in the vast golden laughter of truth's sun, this must be on the level of creative supermind. Bliss, like a great heaven bird on a motionless sea. She's poised there, her winged ardor of creative joy, resting on, supported by the still peace, the still deep, the ocean of the eternal's peace. This is the future for the soul.
393. This amour song, he used a lot of French words, but I mean, anyone can understand in English or not?
No, that's why I mentioned it in connection with suffix, that it's a love song.
I know, but you use it in French, in English, no.
We don't usually use it in English, but Sri Aurobindo often uses these amour.
Amour in French. In English, I don't understand.
It's an English word.
It's a French word.
It's a French word that gets used in English.
Yeah, you use like other word.
Shall we read on? Jocelyn, can you read it?
Was the end, the supernatural nature's allotted task when beauty quenched in the mist of all, in the mist water in conscience slip out of the void. Grand creation world. For this, the spirit came to the abyss and charged with its power matters unknown before. In night's bare session, the cathedral light, in death, revealed the fact of mortality. A mystic, slow transfiguration world. All our earth starts from love and ends in sky, and love that was once an animal's desire, then a sweet madness in the rapturous heart, an ardent compassion, happy mind, becomes a wide spiritual yearning space. The lonely soul's passions for the alone. The heart has loved, mind prays for the love of love. The body is its chamber and shrine. Then, with our being rescued from separateness, all is itself. All is a new faith in love. A lover leaning on his cloister's door, gathered with whole world in his silver grace. Then shall the business fail of night and death. When unity is won, when strife is lost, then whiteness lies, and all is known, and all is classed by love. Who will turn back to ignorance and pain?
Thank you. Yes. Can I point out line 100 and... Sorry. What were you saying, Marianne?
No. I said, you don't know what she's been doing all along, challenging.
No, that's the arrow. That's the...
Yeah, it's the final shot, actually. Yes. At least in this canto. Line 413. For this, the spirit came into the abyss. No?
No?
Yeah, that's a couple of lines before. For what? It came in night's bare session to cathedral light. Here, cathedral is a verb. To build a cathedral to with light.
Build the light
into a place of worship, in night, to create a cathedral of light, made of light.
More than a verb, isn't it an adjective?
Here it is a verb. For this the spirit came into the abyss, to cathedral light in night's bare session, and to repatriate immortality in death's realm. That is why the spirit has come into the abyss and why it has charged with its power matter's unknowing force. So this is one of the lines which I use to assess translations of Savitri. There's another one near the beginning of the poem, but if somebody has got this one right, then I can say, yes, you can use this translation. And then she sums up the whole process. No, she says, this mystic, slow transfiguration is at work. All our earth starts from mud and ends in sky. So everything, all these lower things, are getting transformed into their divine aspect. Love, here she speaks particularly about love. The stages, love that was once an animal's desire, then a sweet madness in the rapturous heart, and an ardent comradeship in the happy mind, becomes a wide spiritual yearning space. A lonely soul passions for the alone. The heart that loved man thrills to the love of God and sees the bodies as God's chamber and his shrine. So then, that's the Graecal. Then is our being rescued from separateness. And there are three aspects of it. Everything becomes oneself, becomes that love. Everything is new felt in God. And God embraces the whole universe, contains everything in himself. This is the realization that's described in the Upanishads, threefold realization. So the Lord, like a lover, he's been hiding in a secret place in the closed cloister, deep within things and the heart. No? Now he leans out and embraces the whole world into his single breast. So that is the fulfillment. This is the aim. No? This is the supernal law. This is the plan. Then shall the business fail of night and death, this grip of ignorance and death and suffering. When unity, when that oneness, that threefold oneness is won, when strife is lost and all is known and all is classed by love, who would turn back to ignorance and pain? A few great souls do turn back and accept ignorance and pain in order to help lift the whole creation to this fulfillment.
Before we leave this little section, I'm just so thrilled with two snapshots of immortal bliss, opening her eyes, stirring her limbs, and singing her love song. And then this lover leaning out from his cloister's door and embracing everything. Thank you, Sri.
Yes.
Who could resist?
What photograph is this?
Here.
No, she's in the line.
In the line. This, there's a quality to what you're explaining and giving from this. It's an African-American gospel.
There's so intensity.
It's so intense, and it has this momentum of lifting. Yeah.
And celebrating.
Yeah. Celebrating, yes. But also you can feel the pain and the struggle and the full expression, full out. Yeah.
So we are approaching now the end of this. She hasn't finished yet. Death has not finished yet. Yes.
I want to share. At the end of the book, in Savitri's last dialogue, that awaken to the meaning of my heart, that to feel love and oneness is to live, and this, the magic of our golden change, is all the truth I know or seek, O sage.
Yes. Yes, that's the final word of Savitri.
Yes.
Go
concentrate in your heart when you meditate. The possible is this. And it's all there. The Sayuchi, all is there. Line 395 is very important. I feel.
Then leaping to its grief, the human heart.
Because there, everything is concentrated. Then it goes up.
Yeah, from there it goes up.
Yeah.
You have to find it first there, and then you go up. I think. Sorry.
So she leaves the grief and climbs to the sun.
It's a seat of love also, not the heart. It's a seat of it.
So let's go on. Franz, would you read?
O death, I have triumphed over thee within. I quiver no more with the assault of grief. A mighty calmness seated deep within has occupied my body, my sense. It takes the world's grief and transmutes to strength. It makes the world's joy one with the joy of God. My love eternal sits throned on God's calm. For love must soar beyond the very heavens and find its secret sense ineffable. It must change its human ways to ways divine, yet keeps its sovereignty of earthly bliss. O death, not for my heart's sweet poignancy, nor for my happy body's bliss alone, I have claimed from thee the living Satyavan, but for his world and mine, our sacred charge. Our lives are God's messengers beneath the stars. To dwell under death's shadow, they have come, tempting God's light to earth for the ignorant race. His love to fill the hollow in men's hearts. His bliss to heal the unhappiness of the world. For I, the woman, am the force of God. He is an eternal delegate soul in men.
Thank you. Well, this is what we need. We need this mighty calmness which comes. It's here, seated deep within. This is what can take the world's grief and transmute it to strength. And this is what can take the world's joy and unite it with the joy of God. My love, eternal, sits throned on God's calm. And that's what love has to do. Our earthly love has to soar up beyond the very heavens and find its secret meaning, significance, which can't be put into words. It has to change its human ways to ways divine, yet keep its sovereignty of earthly bliss. This is, I think, part of the uniqueness of Sri Aurobindo's vision. That it's not just soaring away, no? It's keeping also the connection and all the finest qualities, or transmuting what is muddied and polluted here to its finest form. And that is the work that Satyavan and I are here to do in the world, and that's why I need him back in living form on earth. Not for my happy body's bliss alone, not for my heart's sweet poignancy, but for his work and mine, our sacred charge. Yes, Patty.
I wanted to say that tonight in the ashram meditation, they're going to play Mother's Questions and Answers of 3rd March 1958. And I went to review yesterday what it's about, and it's the most timely thing for today's situation. I didn't realize it. Where a mother mentions that she said many
she talks about the fact that there have been, in many traditions, there has been this preview of some great climax, some big change, some big disaster ending the old. And she said, always they only look to the beyond. And because I was saying that to somebody the other day about the God Channel, that many things they're talking that are like Sri Aurobindo and Mother, unity and diversity, all these things the Christians are saying. But she said they always look to this
beyond.
You have to get your satisfaction beyond, whether they're Christians even.
Because this world can't be changed.
Yeah, so
although
said,
that's there in Christianity too. No?
And
anyway.
She simply says at the end that this. It is not like that. That's not the truth, and that we're now working for this realization in matter.
Mm-hmm.
This play that some of you may know, it was called Light Without Obscurity. Have you ever seen this play? Mm-hmm. It was performed in the ashram on December 1st, 1957. It was written by Tanmaya, a Frenchman who was in the school at that time. Yeah, Light Without Obscurity. And then near the end of it, Mother, through Tanmaya, she had him say that there is this little, in one corner of the globe, there is this place where this new manifestation is coming. And I thought, how interesting if people would rediscover this play and maybe want to do it for 50th birthday of Auroville, or redo it in Ashram, because the Diamond Jubilee or the 60th anniversary will be next December, because it was performed December 1st, 1957. So I thought it's really interesting. Because so many people, the jihadi idea is also to destroy and go beyond in its strange way. So I thought it's the most fundamental, timely thing that, and Mother had said it long back.
1958, she said it. This line, 447, our lives are God's messengers. Our means is saying all the...
She means... She actually here, Savitri is saying our lives, Savitri and Satyavan's lives. But we can also take it that it's true for all of us, especially if we've got this... realized this consciousness, no? This is the mission of all our souls, in fact, no? All of us. And that's why they have to come forward, take control of the whole nature, transform it as much as possible in order to do this, tempting God's light to earth for
God's
the ignorant race.
God's light has to be tempted.
Called down, aspired for, you know.
Another line is to dwell under death's shadow, they have come.
Our souls.
Okay. Or ours, all of ours.
Yes, yes. Mm. Our lives, yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we are all doing. We're dwelling under death's shadow. No? And what they want, what they have to bring is the light, the love, the bliss to heal the unhappiness of the world. And she, Savitri, she represents the force of God. She's an incarnation of the Supreme Divine Mother. And he, Satyavan, represents the soul, the Eternal's delicate soul in man. Mihong, you would read?
My will is greater than thy law or death. My love is stronger than the bond of fate. Our love is the heavenly seal of the Supreme. I guard the seal against thy rending hands. Love must not cease to live upon the earth. For love is the bright link twixt earth and heaven. Love is the far transcendent angel here. Love is an immense lien, lion?
Lien.
Love is immense lien on the absolute.
Hmm. In French, let's stop there. Yeah, next week, death will speak. In French, it's lien. Hmm?
Yeah.
Yes. But I think in English, we pronounce it as lien, L-I-E-N, lien. It's used as a legal term. Somebody has a lien, a claim on a piece of property.
Yeah, when you take a loan, the bank has a lien on our property.
Yes.
Surrender the land, get a loan, and yeah. Lien on the bank.
So love is man's lien on the absolute. That's our connection with him. And it's the angel, the messenger of our transcendent being, the bright link between earth and heaven. So she says, our love, the love of Savitri and Satyavan, is the heavenly seal. We may like the seal of a king, a big wax mark with an imprint, the seal of the supreme. And I'm protecting that seal against your hands, death. You want to tear it apart. You want to separate us. You know? I'm protecting that seal, this union of Savitri and Satyavan, of the force and the soul. Is it really necessary, Patty?
Well, it depends. I just want to say that Mother and Shivan are also so applicable to what's being discovered in modern science. The other day they had this talk on gravitational waves, which is Einstein predicted in 1916, so in 2015 only they have verified there's such a thing as gravitational waves. So I remembered last week you say that gravity is love, because they were discussing and they said that two things that the science doesn't understand is light and gravity. So I said, oh, Shradavan said last week that gravity is love.
what I said last week, if you remember, is that I think we can regard gravity as the most physical manifestation of love. It's the power of attraction that holds the universe together.
Yeah, so that's what it says here. The love is the bright link between earth and heaven. If you throw the ball up, it's really going to come back down. Because of love.
But there's something in the so-called black holes where gravity is destroyed.
I don't know.
I don't know. I
don't
know.
That's not true.
I don't know. I don't know.
When Newton first propounded the idea of gravitation and the law of gravitation, there was much written in both the popular press and the regular and in the scholarly one. This is the most intimate expression of it.
Ah, yes. And of course, in
intimate expression of the presence of God.
Yes.
How interesting. Yeah.
Yes. So that's the same idea. And of course, Aristotle already had this idea. Mm. No, he had his vision of the universe, which is all held together by the love of God, by the primum mobile, the power of attraction. We are attracted. Yes. And that's what keeps everything moving and in its place. So that's a kind of deep intuition that's been there for a long
it's
time.
It's important because Mother and Shrivinu have given this link between spirit and matter. You see, the young speaker, he's an ex-student. So he said, well, I don't know, because this is mixing up philosophy and science. And I thought to myself, look, there's only one truth, you know.
Yes.
So he is at least maybe thinking about it. But his name is Shashwat, so his name means eternal. So I thought he's got to figure it out one day. I told him the answer is probably in Savitri. But now I have to look up and find out what is light, Shrivinu's definition of light, because he says that also baffles the scientists.
There's an interesting talk of Pavitra with Shrivinu. You can look this up. I've seen it, it must be in Pavitra's conversations with Shrivinu, but I've seen it also in Mother India. Where Sri Aurobindo says there are three kinds of energy and that human beings have only discovered the first two. When they discover the third one, then they will be able to understand gravity. So I don't remember the exact words. You please look it up.
I was reading that book the other day. And he said the three kinds of Agni.
Yes, three kinds of Agni, of Enna.
Ordinary fire, electric fire, and solar fire.
Patty, let's go on.
We are going on.
Yes. So Helmut will read, please. Last line of page 600.
But the woman death by God replied with the ironic laughter of his voice, discouraging the labor of his spouse. Even so, man cheat the truth with splendid clothes. Thus wilt thou hire the glorious charlatan mind to weave from his ideal's gossamer air a fine raiment for thy body's new desire and thy heart's clutching greedy passion cloth? Doubt not the web of life's of magic hues. Make rather thy thought of clean and plateless glass, reflecting matter and mortality, and know thy soul a product of the flesh, and made up self in a constructed world. Thy words are large, murmurs in a mystic dream. For how in the soiled heart of man could dwell the immaculate grandeur of thy dream-built God? Or who can see a face and form divine in the naked two-legged worm thou callest man? Or human face, put off mind painted mask. The animal being, the worm that nature meant. Accept thy futile world, thy narrow life. For truth is bare like stone and hard like death. Bare in the bareness, hard with truth's hardness like death.
Live. Mm. Thank you.
I don't think anything is able to call man to like the world.
Only death. He says, that's what you all are, two-legged worms. Who can see in that two-legged worm a face and form divine? But of course we can. He's discouraging. That's what it says. He's discouraging the labor of the stars. The whole universe is working towards something, but he's mocking it, spreading his discouragement, making fun. He calls, of course, mind is in a way a charlatan.
But it's not a very effective, convincing answer to this.
No, not at all. This time, it's not at all convincing, is it? Nevertheless, it still reflects something that human beings think and feel.
Yeah.
No?
I think it's very convincing for most of the humanity.
For most of humanity.
Situation,
yeah.
Well.
Yes. Yes. You're just making it all up, deluding yourselves with beautiful dreams.
No, this is actually, this passage reminds me of two aphorisms. One says something from God doesn't exist until I have the experience, whom should I believe? Mm. Secondly, when he talks about the church and sciences, your spectral world, this, the idea of those two are woven in this more.
Yes, in this passage here. Yes.
That is what I felt.
Mm. And with all these ideals, these high ideals, you're just covering up the demands of your body and your.
His departure point, he ignores the personal experience of God.
Yes.
He takes it for granted, it doesn't exist. Yes. So your experience is false.
Yes.
That is what they try to do when you talk about your experiences. To ignorant people.
Yes.
It's advisable to keep silent, though.
Yeah,
it's
not to do it. Yes. Yes. So, shall we move on then? We can go a little further today. Would you like to read? No? You will try? You don't have to if you don't want to.
Vasayati replied to the dialogue, yes, I am human, yet shall man by me. Since in humanity, waste is our God. Trample fear down the rich, immortal hate. Transcending grief and pain and fate and death. Yes, my humanity is a mask of God. He dwells in me, the mover of my acts. Knowing the great will of his cosmic work, I am the living body of his light. I am the thinking instrument of his power. I incarnate wisdom in an earthly breast. I am his praying and slave of will. The formless spirit youth in me is shaped. In me are the nameless and the secret name.
Thank you. I think it's clear. Of course, this is Savitri saying this. She's able to say it because she has passed through her complete yoga in book 7. She knows who she is. For the rest of us, we can use it to remind us that we have to wake up and find out who we really are. Man will trample thee down, yes. Human beings will overcome death, for sure, she said.
But this, yes, my humanity is a mask of God. The part of human is a mask of God.
But still, God's behind the mask, can reveal himself. And even before he reveals himself fully, he can move the acts and the speech.
It reminds me of that film we saw last night about a guy who walked the wire between the World Trade Center buildings. He did it 9 months after Mother had left her body. See, man by me shall trample thee down to reach the immortal heights. He didn't want to hear the word death. He said, you don't speak that word to me.
Sadhu, would you like to read? Yes.
It's line 495.
Top of page 600. Yes, 499. Top of page 635.
Death from the incredulous darkness sent its cry. O priestess in imagination's house, persuade first nature's fixed immutable laws. And make the impossible by daily work. How canst thou force to wed two eternal foes, irreconcilable in their embrace? They cancel the glory of their pure extremes, and unhappy wedlock maims their stunted force. How shall thy make one with true and false, where matter is all, their spirit is a dream? All are the spirit, matter is a lie. And who was the liar who forged the universe? The real with the unreal cannot mate. He who would turn to God must leave the world. He who would live in the spirit must give up life. He who has met the self, thyself, renounce self.
Yes, thank you. So the first thing you have to do is to change the laws of nature. The laws of physics. Spirit and matter are irreconcilable foes. They cancel each other out. And he says this all with absolute authority, but that is just what we are seeking to change. He says the real with the unreal cannot mate, but in fact it does. We can say that the real, the supreme reality, expresses itself in all these transient disguises. It's not at all true that he who would turn to God must leave the world. Although this is a very strong feeling when we first feel that we want to turn to God, we have the feeling that we have to turn away from the world and everything that represents our ordinary life. And until we have this inner experience, it's a very difficult balancing act, no? Living in the spirit without giving up life.
Mm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of these lines that only came to me by other yogas and my yoga starts.
Yes, yeah. That's what Sri Aurobindo says.
That's all it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If something like that, these were the conditions or situations that were existing then, before Savitri came and changed everything.
We could say that, yes. Yes, we could say that exactly. Mm. Sri Aurobindo's written this letter, no, that he says this whole story took place in the far past, the beginning of human history, when it was necessary to hew the ways of immortality, to open up this new possibility.
Right, so that's mostly generalizing everything, and he's giving his opinions on it in a general way.
And from the point of view of this cosmic power that doesn't see the entire picture, no? He just sees his particular responsibility in the world. He can't see anything beyond that.
No? Perhaps it's not so much that one leaves the world after seeing a certain kind of life, but one enters a new kind of world.
One sees a new dimension to the world. No? Yeah? Yes. And that's what Savitri keeps trying to show him, but he doesn't want to see it. He doesn't want to see it.
Convenient.
Well, it's his job, no?
Yeah, it's his job.
to deny all this. So, yes, as Tuan was saying, Savitri replies on the basis of her experience. But we haven't read the end of his speech. Let's do that. You'll read, shall you? Here. Line 515.
The voyagers of the million roofs of mind who have traveled through existence to its end, sages exploring the world oceans vast, have found extinction, the soul harbor safe. Two only are the doors of man's escape, death of his body. Matters gaze to peace, death of his soul, his last felicity.
Next line, one more line.
In me all take refuge, for I, death, am God.
Yes, that's it. This is the gospel of death. Yes. I think we will stop there today.
It's very profound, very rich.
Yes. Yes. Sri Aurobindo is a very, very great poet, as well as a great seer. Yes. And he looked for many years on this to see if he could find the voice, the poetic voice, to express what he had realized in his yogic consciousness. And by the time he wrote these lines, he had done that.
Yeah. If I may just add a line here. When John Milton is writing the
Paradise Lost,
the only man who went to see Galileo in prison was John Milton.
It was Milton.
Galileo was dying, he was blind, he was in a prison, the greatest scientist of his times. And the only man who came to see him from England, and he himself is going blind.
Yes, he became blind.
Incredible encounter.
Yes, I didn't know about it. Thank you very much for sharing it.
Galileo in Italy, the great scientist Galileo. And he was in prison. Put in prison by house arrest.
Yeah.
And he was blind. And he was dying. And this is in 1639.
Yeah.
And the only man who came to see him. John Milton from England.
The great poet. Yes, I didn't know about that encounter. Very interesting. So let's listen to Mother reading some of the lines from this canto.
But to the woman, death, the god of death. Chitma, the animal we, the world that makes for men, accept thy future and birth, thy narrow life, but Savitri replied to mighty guest, my heart is wiser than the reason's source. My heart is stronger than thy bond, O death. It sees and feels the one heart beats in all. It feels the high transcendent sunlight and death bound his sovereign head in cold descent. I give to thee, saved from death and poignant fate, whatever once the living Satyavan desired in his heart. The Savitri, return, O child, to thy forsaken earth. But Savitri replied, thy gifts resist. Earth cannot flower if lonely I return. Then this once more sent forth his angry cry. What knowest thou of earth's rich and changing life? Who thinks that one man did all thy mercy? The solitary replies to the lady God. Give me back Satyavan, my only Lord. Thy thoughts are vacant to my soul that feels the deep eternal truth in consciencing that when the arms speak, the grave of God's soul.
Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.